We're back to the Neil Haley Show, and my guest today, I know I'm going to have a fun conversation back and forth, especially because soap operas and wrestling are the same thing. So my guest today is Carolyn Hennessy. She, again, is an award winner, General Hospital, and so much more. Carolyn, you're shocked, right? I'm a former pro wrestler, so I just wanted to hit it off straight and say I know soap operas. I know how to tell that soap opera story. And so
you absolutely do. You absolutely do. And for me, you know, walking onto that soundstage, it's like I'm getting in the ring. I don't quite know what's coming at me sometimes, but
you never know what's going to happen. What's going to come at you? What situation? What can happen? So let's kind of talk about, do you have background in theater? Does that kind of help you also in a way? Because, you know, you talk about shooting a soap opera versus shooting a television series versus shooting a movie. Totally different number of takes, number of things. A soap opera, you better get it right because we got to move on.
First time. They are paying you to bring your A game the first time. You don't get to warm up into it. You know, you don't get to kind of shine in your coverage. You don't get to really kind of play a lot. I do because I make sure I play. But it's your A game first time, because very often they get it, or they know they can kind of fix whatever may have happened in editing, and they're gone. They move on. So it's like there's no I can do this better. Every once in a while, you just go, okay, you know what? I know you liked it, but please, I can do this better. And that's very, very rare. So, because, you know, we're doing sometimes 160 pages a day, whereas a television show or a film, maybe 3 1/4 pages. Maybe, you know, sometimes it's 10 pages a day, but we're doing 160 thereabouts.
So there's certain people that are not right for soap operas then, right? If they can't get their
say that again?
There's certain people who are just not right for soap operas, being a soap opera act.
Certain people don't. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, writing a soap opera is incredible. You know, listen, the primetime people, the movie people, they no longer quite as much look down their nose at us because some of them have tried it and they walk away, you know, on crutches. They can't believe that we do what we do every single day. But writing for a soap opera, it's intricate. It's complicated. You have to not only, that's why there are like maybe 10 on staff who write for General Hospital. Because you have to know what's going on in the future, where this huge story arc is going to play out, like in September or November, what's the payoff, and then what's going to be the twist that takes you into another 6 months. You also have to remember what the past is. You can't get gender wrong. You can't get years, dates, who killed who. You know, who was possessed at this point? Who was a twin at this point? You have to, it all has to be in your head. And there's one woman, Elizabeth Cordy, who is one of the great, great soap writers and story editors. And she's the font of all knowledge. When I was writing the Damien Spinelli book, I would go to her and I'd say, now who killed Alexis's mother and why?
Yeah.
You know, because I don't know these things, but she knows everything. And what she doesn't know probably doesn't need to be known. So
there's certain fits that are not right because it takes six times to get their lines right. And I'm sure you've been there, done that. And it's happened because they're good at what they do, but ultimately the first take's not the best take. So that's.
Yes. There's also, we also kind of all breathe a bit of a sigh of relief when there's a technical problem. It's like, no, it's not you. It's technical. It's like, oh, good. Oh, okay. I get a second chance, sometimes a third chance, but usually it's A game number one. So.
And so you've been for General Hospital for so long, which is so cool to work other amazing projects in your career. What do you think you're most known for, Carolyn? If it's not
at this point, well, if you're under 4 feet tall, it's still probably Disney's Vanguard show, Jesse, which playing. You know, so the kids will
and that will live on forever, Jesse. You know, Jesse will never grow up, and all these different. Oh, if you're going to get residuals, then that's okay.
What? Oh, I don't. It's not about the money. Not at all. Yeah.
I remember
yeah.
my kids watching Jesse and watching it. So that's where you become, and that's amazing to think about kids shows. How you could be such a recognizable person more than other things. Like they
right,
every day. It's just like General Hospital. Your fan base is every day, 5 days a week. You're on.
We are sometimes more family than family. We are more family, certainly in the soap world. We're more family than biological family because we are dependable, we're trustworthy, we're not irresponsible in terms of being there for the audience. We are there for you. You can trust that we will be there for you. You may hate us, you may love us, but we're there. We are like rocks. So if you're under this tall, it's Jesse. Now I've got a lot of people over 4 feet that not only love General Hospital, because that is kind of the thing that I am most known for, but also I've got people that are college age saying, you were my childhood. Like, oh, you're a Jesse watcher. Okay. All right. Well, Mrs. Chesterfield is still tough as nails, so you better straighten up and fly right. Just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and so think about that and think about being on a Disney set versus General Hospital. But kind of tell us, you talked off air, how you're open up to working. So you're not tied down to one thing. You like multiple things.
I've not been under contract in the 17 years that Diane Miller has graced the city of Port Charles. No, I have not been under contract. So I'm able to kind of go to the executive producer and go to casting and say, you know what? I'm shooting a movie for a month. Sorry. I'm shooting NCIS for a week. Sorry. But it's a tightrope that I walk because, again, I want to keep General Hospital happy because, let's face it, it's the gift that keeps on giving day after day.
It's a working actor like that kind of working actor where your brand is synonymous. Who do you think your ideal audience is? Who watches soap operas now?
More people than you would actually expect. Certainly, it's because you don't have to stay home. You know, it used to be women in the 50s, in the 60s, staying at home, ironing, watching a soap opera, you know, as they fetch and carry for the husband that's coming home, you know, and get their martini. No, that's not it anymore. It is, you can now, you know, you can tape it. You can VCR, VDR. I don't know what those terms is, but I never,
DVR,
I never
yes.
do it.
You can go
it
back is, and you can binge watch it later. Yeah.
Right. If it's not on Netflix or my computer or Amazon Prime, I'm probably not watching it. I don't know how to, you know, record it for later, but a lot of people do that, which is wonderful. But so many people now grew up with it, with their grandparents, with their moms. That's how the stories are continuing to be passed down. And honestly, wives will watch it and a husband will say, what's that? Is that Barb from Cougar Town? Wait, or is that what it's, or kids will come in and go, hey, that's Mrs. Chesterfield. What are you watching, mom? And then they, it's like the Venus flytrap, you know, they come in, they're hooked. They're fans for life. So, and that's, we're never going to run out of that supply. So that's the audience.
That's brand awareness for you to be discovered. Yeah. People recognize you everywhere.
Yeah.
How listen, are actors also, doing that now?
Because it's also lawyers and doctors and business people of all.
Anybody that has a waiting room. Anyone has a waiting room. There's a soap opera.
Anyone who waiting room, exactly.
There's or certain waiting rooms, the ones that you don't want to be in. You know, you end up, boom, it's popping on. Or it's in a laundromat. Wherever it is. But what I'm saying is, so
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We are still a viable, dependable force. The four soap operas that are left are still, again, as much family as bio family, sometimes more.
Because I think the challenge for your industry now, and I wanted to ask you this question because you're a veteran actor, is there is a lot of work, but there isn't a lot of work, okay? And that gets because they're shooting, they don't shoot many films anymore. There's not many major production films. The people aren't going to the theaters anymore. There's another option. There's streaming, but then they're not paying a lot of the actors what they're worth in some of these streaming networks because they're not paying the people who created them enough money. That what do you see? You're so glad you have General Hospital. because it's not, it, there's not tons of productions, tons of opportunities where it's a script you really want to do, right?
Listen, I can make any script a joy for myself because actors act. Uh-huh. Actors act. They don't throw fits. They don't say no, no to this or no, no to that. I mean, listen, obviously, of course, there are exceptions to everything. Like, for instance, you know, nobody wants to see me take my clothes off because they want to sell their product. So anyway, I certainly don't want to do that. So there are things that I have actually said no to. But most of the time, 95% of the time, actors act. And that's our job. That's our business. So is there less and less coming down the pike? For many, many people, the answer is yes. For me, blessedly, not yet. Because I'm Diane Miller on a soap opera, very glamorous, very well-dressed, very, you know, but I'm also first and foremost a character actress. I've been a leading lady, but I'm first and foremost a character actress. And there will always be jobs for character actors. It's great. The ingenues may come and go, or hopefully morph into a character actor, but sometimes they just don't. And let's also not forget that as we speak right now, there is a writer's strike going on. So no one is working.
I've been hearing about it.
Oh yeah,
I understand it. So tell me what's happening. What are the times that a writer's strike happens during the launch of ChatGPT 2? You know, go figure. Like, you know, the way things are changing with AI and writing, and how writers are having the biggest challenges. And
what this strike is about. This strike is about really. AI. This strike is about AI, streaming services, residuals for writers, and it's they deserve everything that they're
asking. They totally do, because they are the ones that create these lives and these ideas that you and I, we can perform it in some sort of way. We can come up with the idea. Yeah.
Right. The producers, I'm confident, will end up seeing the light, not letting it last 100 days like the last one did, or 6 months like the one in 88 did. And they will just kind of go, look, we're going to give it to you anyway. Maybe you can work with us a little bit on this point, but we're going to give it to you. And so let's just stop this now. So everybody that I know who is not working can go back to work. Soap opera. Interestingly enough, I think we've got scripts written I'm not actually quite sure, but we have scripts written for a long time. So we're still viable, and the soap actors are still working. And this is when you go, thank God for the soaps. Yeah. I've with my friends in picket lines over at Warner Brothers. Sorry, Warner Brothers. Oh. SAG actors can actually not work without repercussions at this point. But, you know, after this writer's strike, there's the director's contract is coming up, and then the actor's contract is coming up. So we're in that season.
So the thing that you see is that happening is you're in the ideal audience, your brand awareness. Have you used this brand in a way for ability to take you to the next level in your career and other things? Think about like specific shows you were on and different things, the appearances. So you could be working for years and not even acting. The way things are going, people, once you have a brand, it's hard to get rid of that brand because somebody knows you. And that's the power of brand, that you can endorse anything, you can do anything, you can get work, you can look at opportunities. Have you looked at that? Do you have any lines or different things that you promote or anything yourself?
I do. And I'm just starting revisiting my little online, it's not a podcast, it's more of like a little drop-in. It's called Carolyn's Carpet Bag. And it is, I guess you would call it an unboxing, or because it's a carpet bag, you're unbagging for the certainly not 25-year-old set. It's the, you know, women of a certain age that want to see this product or that product. And it's just fun things that I come up with, because this is still a demographic that is widely, you know, dismissed. And not recognize it. It's like, oh, you know, they're older. We don't need to market to them. Oh, yes, you do. You
better market to it. That's one of the biggest things I've said to my clients that are a lot older. I mean, I'm 50, but I mean, but what I'm saying is,
you look 40.
They're older. So what'd you say?
I said, you look 40.
Thank you. That's I did not look 42 years ago. So I owe that to people helping me with my health. No, it's because health is wealth, bottom line. And you got to do what you love And if you don't do what you love, you miss out in life. And that's, everyone has their passion. I see your passion, but you're right. They don't market to that. It's such an important thing. And they don't, and they market to older people, especially 60 and over, is medications. And they're not dying anytime soon. Never.
No, the longevity of people in this country is now extended. I don't know actually if that is still true.
COVID's changed the numbers, but if you're married or with somebody and you have family, you're likely to live to 95.
Right.
Or more, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, you know, advertisers take note. And it's not just...
They're not going to, because they're going to refuse to. Because
So we're not going anywhere. We're not anywhere soon. And I'm not quite that. But I'm a woman of a certain age. And I'll tell you something. This is also a reason why the Alexis and Diane pairing on General Hospital, these two best friends, because we are women of a certain age and we are showing women of a certain age
that's correct.
You can absolutely still have your best friends who aren't out to steal your guy, who aren't out to stab you in the back, who only want to love and support you. And I can't tell you the fan mail that I get about that, and people at fan events saying, well, I love Lexis and Diane. And it's like, yes, me too. More please. So it's this, I've used whatever platform I have to kind of either for animals,
okay,
and animal advocacy, or to say, oh, yes, all of us are still viable. Viable, yes, but important. And it's mandatory that you take us into account. So that's what Carolyn's carpetbag is going to
do. I find it fascinating. It's such great stuff. And I'm going to have you on again. I don't know if Harlan told me. Isn't it fast? But because I have co-hosts that ask questions about your career and different things like that today. Based on me being not around, but we're going to do it again because it was a fun conversation. I have some great ideas. Oh, I'm with it. Best place people can go right now. Where?
Carolyn Hennessy, and it's the short spelling of Hennessy, Hennessy, and that's on Instagram. That's on Facebook. That's on my site, which needs revamping anyway. And that's on Twitter. It's on Pinterest. It's wherever you can. But it's one word, Carolyn Hennessy. So there you go. Find me and follow me, and then you will be the first to know about Carolyn's carpetbag.
Okay, it's also people that have been tuning in, what's going on? Quick little tip to let so that when you come back, you can tell me a little bit more that's happened. Where are there's some really your character is going through some interesting.
Oh, my character? Yes. Well, my character is in the love triangle of her life. She's in the ring. She's in the wrestling ring, and she's wrestling Holly Sutton for the love of Robert Scorpio, Tristan Rogers, and Emma Sams. And I have a feeling that I will be you in the ring. I will demolish.
I love it. I love it. Well, we appreciate it. It was such fun. Thanks for stopping by again.
And my pleasure.
Schedule. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.